Hey, it's Bobby Bones. If you're a veteran or if you've got a family member or friend who served, I want to tell you about Safeguard Veterans. Sometimes the hardest part isn't asking for help, it's knowing where to turn. Safeguard Veterans connects veterans, families, and caregivers with local support and resources that understand military life. And when you're talking to people who understand those experiences, finding the right support can feel a whole lot easier. Visit safeguardveterans.net and click on your city. Safeguard Veterans, any door. The right support.
Blog Talk Radio.
You're a bad boy. Well, I think it's working. Here we go. Sorry, having some problems with the switchboard as usual on BTR because BTR is a piece of shit. But anyway, welcome to the show. Those of you listening, welcome to Off Limits. Thanks for joining me tonight. Tonight we're talking about pretentious people, fake people, and we'll talk about this Debbie Dayling and what she called me, what she said to me in some of her messages today. She's a perfect example, so we'll talk about her as well. So if you want to call into the show, the number is 323-843-6160. And we will take your calls if you are interested in discussing this with me tonight. So there are plenty of people in the world who have a need to be something that they are not. And this is because they have a low self-esteem, a bad self-image, and because they themselves aren't feeling full in who they are or content in who they actually are. So these people, in order to compensate for the void, in order to compensate for the feelings of inadequacy, what they do is they create in their own mind, sometimes even convincing themselves that they are something that they are not. And so it is something that it's a typical coping mechanism for people psychologically. Typically, it's more of an adolescent phase or even younger that people do that sort of thing. But people sometimes do this into their adulthood as well. And it creates a great deal of strife or drama in that person's life, the person who's pretending to be something they're not, because what it does is it creates a false sense of self, and it creates they end up surrounding themselves with people who know them as something that they aren't. So we're going to talk about that, and we're going to talk about why people end up being that way. And of course, we're going to use examples from BTR. So if you want to call in again, the number is 323-843-6160, and I'm happy to take your call. So as everybody knows, I'll start the show off talking about this person because she's been, a thorn in my side ever since I've been on here. I don't know what her problem is, really. Yes, I do know what her problem is, and I'll get to that in a minute. But I'm going to read you the emails that she's been sending me verbatim, and I'm also going to post them on my website during the show. I haven't done it yet, but I'll do it during the show, because Debbie Daly has been sending me some really not-so-nice emails. And I'm going to read you my side of the emails, and I'm going to read you her side of the emails, and I'm going to read them verbatim. I'm not going to edit them. I'm going to let you decide who she really is. Because I am certainly not going to sit idly by and allow someone to pretend to be something that they're not. She continually says on her show that she's oh so sweet and virginal, and oh my God, she would never hurt a fly, and oh my goodness, and why do these people just hate me, and oh my God, I have done nothing to these people, oh my God, I'm just such an innocent bystander. Give me a fucking break, people. And I'm only going to dedicate about 10 minutes to this bitch, but I'm going to do it for only a moment. I got to say this because this is the truth. And I don't know what she said. I know she said something about me on her show tonight, but I haven't listened to her show tonight. And so I'll probably listen to it later, but I haven't listened to her show. But I know she said some things about me tonight. So I'm going to read you the emails verbatim because I don't know what she actually said they said. She probably edited them out in her own mind to make herself sound better. But I'm not going to do that. I'm going to read you exactly what she said and exactly what I said. So here we go. First, a little bit of history here. The reason that I do not like this woman is because she, first of all, is fake and pretentious. And she's a great case study for this show. And I want to tell you that she is not who she says she is. And it's proven. It's in, public records. It's proven by she's not who she says she is. So I'm just going to tell you that I went into her chat room, I don't know, 6 months ago or something like that. And after I'd been off of BTR for a while to hear what her show was about, I just went into her chat room listening. I didn't say a word to anybody. And I laughed at something somebody said in the chat room, and she kicked me out. She said, get out of my room, you fucking faggot-ass faggot iconoclast. Get the fuck out of my room. And she kicked me out. And then later she denied ever having said that. So that really just proved to me that everything that I'd heard about her was true. Because up until that point, I had never really – didn't really know her that well. I'd been to her show a few times or whatever, listened to her show. I'd talked to her a few times. And before that, she and Vince and the Bay ganged up on me about a year before that. On his show. So I didn't really like her, but I didn't I wanted to give her the benefit of the doubt. But once I did, that's what happened. And so obviously she proved everybody correct. So I didn't exactly have the best, I don't have the best relationship with her, nor do I want one. But I do want to say this, though. She emailed me. After that happened, after I went to her chat room, I emailed her. I said, why the hell did you kick me out? I didn't say anything to you or do anything. What are you talking about? So she sent me an email via the Blog Talk Radio messaging system. And she said this. She said, message, you silly boy, LOL. Okay. And then I didn't respond to her. And then she said, I don't know who you are. And frankly, I don't want to. Do yourself a favor and stay out of my chat room. Trust me. You don't want a war with me. No one has won yet. And then she says, now ask me if I care. Stay away from my show, bitch. And then I kept going to her show because I knew it irritated her. And so, because, you know, whenever you go to somebody's show, they pop up their picture or whatever, their icon pops up on your listener list. And so she says to me, look, buddy, I don't know. I didn't do anything to you. Just stay off my show's listener list and this will be fine. Got it? If you don't like me, stay away. Easy. Capiche? Okay. And then then she said it again the next day I was on there. She said, again, tonight, you're on my listener list. Why do you insist on being at my show and hating me? Please learn to stay away from the things you dislike. It's simple. Okay, and you have to realize through all this time, I'm not messaging her through those times. She just is doing it all on her own volition. And I'm not saying a word to her. So finally, I respond to her, and I said this to her. Where is it? I said, listen, you ignoramus. If I want to listen to your show, I will listen to your show. And you listen to my shows from time to time, I have noticed as well. I rarely actually listen to your show. Only if I think Laszlo or someone else I like will be on, I will pop in and listen or see if he's in the chat room because I actually don't mind him. And occasionally to hear you butcher the English language and laugh at your lack of education and your religious zealot babble. Besides, your show can be entertaining just for all the wrong reasons. You should be asking yourself why it bothers you so much. Besides, that's all the more reason for me to listen. And no one tells me what to do, least of all some bobblehead from the sticks. And then she responded, LOL, I could buy you, LOL. Okay. And then I responded this to her. This is on the 16th of May. I said, LOL, you could probably buy me a Big Mac, but not much else. Your incessant pretentious attitude doesn't change the fact that you're a broke-ass, redneck hick living in a lower middle-class home with boku debt and who feels the need to interject that Vic drives a Porsche and you have a bed by Hendrodon, which, by the way, is not all that nice since I'm a designer. That shit is hideous. And have to overcompensate for your insecurity with lies about how much you supposedly have, how much money you supposedly have. If you want to play the money game, I guarantee you between us, I would win. But unlike you, I don't equate socioeconomic class with the value someone has. Besides, those with money don't feel the need to let everyone else know they have it. It's only those that need to let everyone know what kind of car they drive and where they live and what kind of stupid fucking bed brand they own. Give me a fucking break. You're such a fucking wannabe. Just be happy with what you have and who you are instead of constantly trying to be someone and something that you are not and never will be. Then maybe people won't think you were such a fucking lunatic. And then she responded today. I just read these like 5 minutes ago before I started my show. She says, okay, you called me out. Shut the fuck up, faggot, F-A-G-G-O-T, in caps. Then she says, I didn't respond to her or say anything because I didn't see them till now. Then she says, go suck a dick. Go take it up the ass. In whose world can you ever talk to me like this? You are beneath me. And yes, butt muncher, I could put your ass on my Visa, L-M-A-O. Go to hell, sissy boy. Okay. So this is the person this is the real woman. This is the real her. And the funny, I have no clue what she said about me on her show. I have none. I don't have a clue. I know she said something about me, but I don't know what. So I don't know what her response to all this was or how she couched it to be, but this is the truth. What I just read to you, all these emails I just read to you, is everything from A to Z that has happened between myself and that woman since, I don't know, the past few months. So if you look at the pattern here, you will see that she came at me over and over and over again. And when someone comes at me, I typically don't entertain a response if it's something somebody I don't really give a shit about, like her. But if it's incessant, which is what it's been with her, she will absolutely continue to, you know, she continues to kind of press on and on and on, well, then, yeah, absolutely, I'm going to respond to it because I just get sick of it. So that's my response. And so what I want to say about her is, hold on, yeah, we're listening, agree with your letters, most part, good job, make sure you listen to every position. I may or may not listen to her show, I don't know. But anyway, so that's the truth, everything I said. I don't know if she read the truth or she read some version of her truth. And most likely, people who are like this, pretentious, fake liars, just give a version of their truth and not the whole truth. I gave you the whole truth. So I have nothing to hide about myself. I've been very honest about who I am from top to bottom. So if you want to know something about me, all you got to do is ask me. When it comes to her, though, however, she is absolutely, positively not to be trusted. And she gives this song and dance about how sad and how virginal and how sweet she is, when in reality she's going around saying, go suck a dick, go take it up the ass, butt muncher, etc. So, and first of all, to tell a gay guy to go suck a dick is redundant. To tell a gay guy to take it up the ass is redundant. to call somebody a butt muncher is also redundant. So, you know, I'm gay. I suck dick. I take it up the ass. And so I like to do those things. And so you're not telling me anything that I don't already do or don't already know. And to say them as an insult doesn't affect me or bother me in any way. So the reason I wanted to address her is because she is, as I said, the perfect case study for she can't fucking tell people who can listen and what they can say about it. Oh, exactly. I know. She's evil and stupid. Absolutely. So I absolutely wanted to just say that she's the perfect case study for someone, if you're talking about people who are pretentious, fake liars. And look, I have plenty of information I could give about her and proof of that she isn't who she says she is, but I'm not going to do that. And the reason I'm not going to do that is because I don't care enough to do that. And, you know, it's all public record, public information. It's all very easily found out who she really is and how, you know, putting the truth next to what she actually says. So you can, if you're interested in knowing the truth about her, you can find that out all on your own. Everybody knows her real name or whatever. But the truth is, I do find her to be, you know, she has this show on here. And I think this is true of some people on Blog Talk Radio. Let me first say this, though. For me, my show is just an outlet. It's like a blog. To me, it's like a place where I come on here and talk about things I'm interested in, talk about politics, talk about topics or whatever. It's not a place for me to come on here. It's not my life. I have a show occasionally, once a week, twice a week, maybe. You know, I don't have a show every single day. I don't call it a real show like I have a real show, like I'm going to come on here and actually get a show or something on Sirius Radio or terrestrial radio like she apparently wants. So I'm not interested in that at all. I'm interested in just getting my voice heard, and that's it. And that's all. And having real conversations with people. Now, for her, and I think for some people on Blog Talk Radio, they really are mentally ill. I mean, they have a true mental illness, and they really are unwell. They have a real problem. I mean, really. And this is the truth. I feel sorry for her. I do feel sorry for her, because whenever I think about her, I think about someone who is so, so unhappy with who they are that they have to pretend to be something that they're not. She has to pretend that she has this and that because it's this, you know, money or whatever. And even if she does have it, fine. But to talk about it all the time she doesn't. But anyway, talk about it all the time and to pretend like you're something you're not so you feel better about yourself, you're never going to allow that. What that does is it puts up a wall between you, the real you, and the rest of the world. And so the real you never gets to truly connect with anybody because no one can get through the wall. It's an invisible wall, but it's there. And so you have to let down that wall and let people in. And so I feel sorry for her. I seriously feel sorry for people like her, and I feel like they need help. And all I want to do is to help these people and say, look, wake the fuck up. I mean, if you want to have a real life, if you want to have a real life with real, genuine relationships and connections with people, you have to allow them to connect to who you are. And the only way you can do that is to allow yourself to be vulnerable. You have to be vulnerable to someone, whether it's a friend or a relationship or whatever, in order to have a real, true connection with somebody. If you don't have vulnerability, then you don't have a true connection, because that vulnerability means you trust that person. You're giving that person your trust, and trust is everything. So whether it's a small friendship, relationship, or it's a long-term, you know, romantic one. So hopefully, you know, she's either on medication or will get on medication, But I think that she needs to really step away from the microphone. And, you know, the only thing she said to me, by the way, the things about go suck a dick and take it up the ass, blah, 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 that kind of shit like that. For her to say those kind of things and for her to say, you know, call me faggot and stuff like that, for her to say those things and then turn around and say she's not homophobic, it's hilarious. Because someone who's not homophobic would not use those terms. It doesn't matter how angry they are. It doesn't matter how mad they are. It doesn't matter how upset they are. You don't use those terms. It's the same thing as if I were saying to someone who was black, calling them the N-word, because I got pissed off at them or whatever. Does that make the other person a racist? Yeah. I mean, you can't use racist terminology and then not call yourself a racist. It doesn't make fucking sense. So, but the thing is, when you're not dealing with someone who's rational, someone who's irrational, someone who really doesn't have any fucking idea about what is reality, I seriously think she's lost touch with reality. I mean, I honestly do believe that. I don't think that she really has a grasp anymore of what's real. And that's what happens when you are fake and you're not real and you're pretending to be something you're not. Over time, if you're doing it long enough, you begin to believe your own fucking nonsense that you put out there. Because you begin to believe it because you're continually spewing it out and saying it to people and saying this is the way things are. And so your mind begins to think that it's true. And so she's been lying for so long and pretending to be something she's not for so long that she now doesn't really even know what's true and what's not. I mean, she knows consciously, but she doesn't really know anymore. And I don't know if she'd know how to be herself. I think she doesn't know who she is as a person. I really don't. And the only kind of people I think who are like this, people who are truly pretentious or fake or whatever, they are not able to do that because they don't know who they are. In order to be authentic, you have to know who you are. You can't, if you don't know who you are, then how can you be real? I mean, you can't be something that you don't know how to be. So, you know, look, and the truth is, like I said, I feel sorry for the woman. I feel sorry for her because I'm a nice person. I care about people, even people like her who really are fucked up in the head. I mean, really, truly fucked in the head. Really fucked in the fucking head. I mean, really, I cannot stress to you, fucked up, okay? Fucked up. I feel sorry for them because I think that they don't even know that they're so sick and so ill. And that's very typical of this kind of an illness. And so I wanted to just say that, address her first, because I know that she said something about me on her show. I'm not real sure what. But I wanted to read the entirety of the letters that went between us because I did not want to have someone else's side of the story told, especially when it's someone like her who doesn't know the truth from her ass. So I wanted to be sure that the truth was out there. And maybe she told the whole truth. Maybe she told part of the truth. Whatever the case is, whatever I just told you is the absolute truth because I have nothing to hide. Because, look, I don't care if people on here like me or not. You can like me or not like me. I just am what I am. And if you like me, great. If you don't like me, then you don't like me. Then don't listen to me or whatever. I don't care. So it's not a popularity contest for me. I'm not trying to be everybody's favorite. I'm not trying to be the number one host. I'm not trying to be anything but just me. So if people want to listen to me, listen. If they don't, don't. And unfortunately, I think that she cares too much about what people think about her. She says she doesn't, but she does. Because if she didn't, she wouldn't take so much time and effort to put into what she said and what she's done. So anyway, I want to also say that, you know, the root of the problem with people who are pretentious and fake, I guess, well, let's get to that. So people are growing up, people are with their parents or family or whatever, you know, as a kid, you want to be loved and adored and get attention from your parents or whatever, right? Or friends or family or somewhere. Everybody needs attention. Everybody needs that it's because we're human. So when you don't get that from your parents or from even if you do from one parent, but you may favor another parent, you don't get it from the one you want, whether it's a parent or a friend or a boyfriend or a teacher or whatever, you're not getting the attention you need or crave from someone. You feel like you're being ignored, or you feel not good about yourself because you've been told you're unattractive or because you're ugly or you're poor or you're dirty or, you know, whatever the case is. I mean, there's a million different things people are made fun of about, right? So as you're growing up, some people in their minds, you know, different people tolerate it or do things differently. But as they get older, some people, the way they it manifests within them and the way that they cope, I guess is the right word, they cope with this is through pretending to be something that they're not. Making a persona for themselves, putting something out front so that people will like what they see and something that's considered acceptable to them. So I know firsthand what that's like because when I was a teenager, I did that. When I was a teenager, young teenager, I had this whole concocted story about who I was and stuff because it happened by accident or whatever. It's a long story, but when I was in middle school, actually, and because I didn't like who I was at the time, I didn't like myself till high school. But before that, I was really just not liking myself. And so I know firsthand what it means to be like that. But most people grow out of that. People who end up coping that way grow out of that as they get older. And other people, like Miss Daly, or whatever she called herself, do not. They grow up and they continue the same patterns over and over and over again because they haven't learned a new way to cope. They've continued to do things the same fucking way over and over and over again because it served them well. It serves their ego. It makes them feel good about themselves. It makes them feel like they are bigger than they are. It makes them feel more accomplished, more happy or beautiful or whatever the case may be. So they end up actually doing that all of their lives. And until somebody calls them on their bullshit, whether it's their husband, wife, friends, family, whatever, they don't really do anything about it because they've never been forced to. And so the only way to force someone like that to be real is to prove that they're fake or prove that they're lying or prove with proof that they are not real because they're not going to change themselves. Because they have no reason to. They have no motivation to change. So I think the best thing to do with these kind of people, essentially, is to make them essentially show them exactly, excuse me, goodness, essentially make them who they really are come to the surface. Make the truth of who they are come to the surface and not this fake persona they've created. So hopefully people will learn from that and actually get something from it. But anyway, I'm going to take a quick break, play a song. If you want to call in, the number is 323-843-6160. I'll be back. We'll talk more about this and well, some other things. I'll be right back. Okay, so we're back. The number is 323-843-6160 if you want to call in and tell me your thoughts on this topic tonight. So we've all known people who are like, you know, oh my God, I just got a new BMW or Mercedes Benz or whatever. Like the other night, by the way, I mean, well, anyway, people who actually say that kind of stuff instead of saying my car, and then they have to say exactly the brand or whatever because they want people to know exactly how wealthy they are. It's always about wealth, though. It's also about status or whatever. Oh, my God, I know so-and-so. I know, you know, Bruce Willis, or I know Tom Cruise or whatever. Oh, my God, so-and-so is my best friend's sister or whatever, you know, stuff like that. So dropping names is another example. Just talking about money, talking about status, talking about who you are, whatever the kind of clothes you wear. I mean, all of these things are so non-important to what life is really about. I mean, these things are so completely unimportant, but our society is so obsessed with pretense. I mean, really, there's just pretense everywhere. People have so much pretentiousness that it's just kind of gets on my nerves. I mean, seriously, I don't even hang around people like that because it makes me literally ill to my stomach. I mean, because number one, it's embarrassing. Because whether they're telling the truth or not, it's embarrassing, because the fact that they feel the need to say these things or point them out, that in and of itself means that they are insecure. And so that's embarrassing because they're showing an insecure side of themselves. And then secondly, the fact that they do it at all is embarrassing. So I just try to stay away from people like that and try to surround myself with people who are real. And what do I mean by real people? Well, by real people, I simply mean people who are what they say they are. Now, sometimes people will, you know, can be wrong. I mean, you can know someone and think that they're lying about something and they're not. But, you know, but if you have proof that they're lying, then it's different. But I think that as long as people are real, meaning that, for example, they live where they say they live, they don't need to express how much money they have. They don't need to express the cost of the sunglasses they're wearing on their face, or the clothes on their back, or the type of the brand of the car they're wearing, or who they know, or whatever. They only express themselves through their actions in life, and so they express themselves through who they are. By being who they are, by being themselves, that is enough. They don't need to impress people. That's the difference. So, and it's definitely difficult in this day and age, especially, to not do that in some instances. And, you know, the thing is, there's a game that you can play in life, and in terms of climbing the ladder of success, whether in terms of your job, or whether it's in terms of, you know, friendships and socially, or in relationships. I mean, there's a game that you can play, and I've always known how to play the game. I just don't do it, and I could have done so much with my life in terms of I've had so many opportunities to take advantage of relationships with people I had, or to take advantage of financial success I've had, or whatever, to the point where I would have to play the game in order to get further or further myself. But I never did that because it's just not in me to do that. I don't need other people's approval about those types of things, because my grandmother was the realest person in the world. My mother is the same way. There's very down-to-earth people. They raised me. And so knowing, having been raised by people like that, and having been raised by people who are very just salt of the earth people and not at all pretentious, just exactly who they say they are, that's something that I took, you know, to heed. However, I can come across pretentious to people. And what I mean by that is, I've been told by somebody, it's people before, my vocabulary is pretentious. But people who tell me my vocabulary is pretentious are usually people who don't have a very big vocabulary. And so if you have a big vocabulary, then when you're speaking, you just use it. I don't use it because I'm trying to use it as a weapon or to make people feel uncomfortable or feel like they're less than me, because that's not the case. I'm just speaking the way I normally speak. I have a good education, you have 2.5 degrees, you know, already. I'm almost finished with my master's degree. So I have a great number of years of education that I use. And so when I'm speaking, I just speak based on my past knowledge. I don't even think about it. So if it makes someone else uncomfortable, they probably don't have a very big vocabulary and they feel insecure. But I didn't make them feel insecure. They themselves feel insecure themselves. It's just like if I were in a room full of physics experts or something, and they were speaking physics all the time. You know, I would feel insecure because I don't know anything about physics, and I'm stupid about that kind of stuff, and I don't really know anything about it. So my point is like, I'm just being myself. I'm not being pretentious when I do that kind of thing. It's just me. But I'm not going around saying, you know, using words like huge, enormous words, because that would make people feel bad about themselves, and I know that they don't know them. So there's a huge difference there. So hopefully people can see the difference, but I think it's difficult when in this day and age, as I was saying, to not be, for some people, to not play the game, you know? If you live in Hollywood, or if you're in that kind of, if you have that kind of career or whatever, if you have that kind of career or whatever, then you, or even just in business in general, okay, just in business in general, there's a game you play to get up the ladder, right? And that's something I can't do. One thing I cannot do is be fake. I cannot be fake, okay? And that's why, you know, if I had played the game in business, I, you know, could have done so many things and taken advantage of so many opportunities I never took advantage of because I didn't want to kiss people's butt, okay? I was not a butt kisser, and I'm still not. And I do not suck up to people. I don't care who you are. I don't care who you are. I have to have respect for you, and to have respect for you, you have to have earned respect from me. I don't just grant it out. And some people do, and that's okay. That's who they are. That's their personality. But my personality is not as such as that. So I can't be fake. So if I don't like you, I can't just smooth up to you and be like, oh, you know, let's go play golf or let's go to dinner or whatever just so I can get a business deal. I don't do that. I just don't. I can't. I wish I could. It's just not in the core of my being to do that. If I don't like you, I don't want to do business with you. I don't want to know you socially. I don't want to know anything. You might as well be dead to me. I don't want to know you, period. So I don't know how to be that way, to use people to get something for my own end. I've never been that kind of person. As I said, I've had many opportunities to be that way. But every time I've had that opportunity, I've chosen not to use it or not to use people unless they themselves gave me that opportunity on their own or suggested on their own. I've never manipulated people that way. So I am the kind of person who doesn't believe in being fake, even if it's your own detriment. I mean, that's how bad it is for me. Even to my own detriment, I will not be fake with somebody. So if somebody says they're going to give me, you know, a million dollar project, you know, for my firm, my architecture firm or whatever, and I'm going to earn $1 million off of it, I mean, at the end of the project, and the person's like a stone cold, like, Republican conservative asshole who votes against gays and votes against people different than he is, you know, that's not non-white or whatever, I'm not going to do business with that person. Yes, I could suck it up, and I could be fake, and I could pretend and be like, oh my God, you know, yeah, you're the greatest person in the world, whatever. Ha ha ha, we just gonna have lunch or whatever. Or I could not do the job and lose $1 million. And I seriously wouldn't do it. I just wouldn't. I don't know how to be any other way. I really sometimes wish I could be a little less real about things, but I don't know how to be. So I just am what I am. So I think the difference is between someone who's fake and someone who's not is that even when it's difficult, even when it is somewhat to your own detriment, not to a huge detriment, like, I'm not talking about your life or something here, but I'm saying, you know, somewhat to your own detriment, even in that, in the face of that, you can be real and be honest with people and still not be fake, then that's someone who's real. Someone who's fake is going to just, like, you know, cozy up to anybody to get their way. So for me, there's a huge difference there. And it's also about character. I think people have different kinds of character, right? But I think that character is something that is, you kind of are born with, not born with, you're raised with. It's kind of instilled in you as you're raised by your parents. And then you either have it or you don't as you age, and you can choose to have it or not, right, to some degree. But I think basically it's kind of instilled in you if you have good parenting. So if your parents, when they were raising you, told you, you know, taught you good character, and that was instilled in you, as you age, you'll be that person. And you won't need to be pretentious because you'll be real. You won't need to be fake because you'll be yourself. You'll just be yourself, and that needs to be enough to make everybody else happy. And honestly, you can't make everybody happy. You cannot make everybody. You can never make no one. It doesn't matter who you are. I don't care who you are in this world. You cannot make everyone love you. You cannot make everyone like you or respect you or care about you or think you're the most beautiful, the most likable, or anything. All you can do is be yourself. Be yourself, and that has to be enough. It's that simple. It is that simple. It's not a difficult thing to do, really, if you think about it. It only becomes difficult when you've lived a life of deception or a life of you've crafted a life around a lie. If you've created this persona of who you are, and it's not really who you are, and you've crafted all these relationships and developed these intimate relationships with people based on a lie, then you really don't have shit because you can never be yourself. So to have real relationships, as I said in the beginning of the show, the only way you can have a real relationship is to be vulnerable and open yourself up to other people's, possibly their scorn, or to other people not liking you, or other people possibly hurting you in the end. That is the only way you can have a real relationship. And that's why I'm hurt all the fucking time. I get hurt all the fucking time by friends or family or whatever the case may be, because I open myself up to everybody. I'm very rare that way because most people are more have a big wall up, right? But my mom was like that growing up, my family, whatever. And I kind of took it as a cautionary tale. I knew that I didn't want to be that way. I didn't want to be someone who was afraid to let people in, because I saw that people who didn't let people in were not happy. And so, yes, I also saw, however, people who did let people in were hurt a lot. And so I'm that kind of person. I'm the kind of person who gets hurt a lot by people because I let people in, I trust them, and I'm myself with them, and I expect them to be telling me who they are. And if they are, great, then we have a great relationship. But ultimately, many times, 9 times out of 10, people aren't who they say they are. And sometimes it's not their fault. Sometimes people don't even know who they are, as I said earlier. Sometimes they think they're one way and they're really another, and they're not really as good of a friend or whatever as they pretend to be. But ultimately, you have to be open enough to be able to get hurt in order to get the good stuff. Because the only time you have the great friends, the great friendships, the great relationships, great business associates, great anything, is when you allow yourself to be open that way. Without doing that, you are ultimately going to be alone. I mean, and it's really a sad, sad thing, honestly, because as I said earlier in the show, I feel sad for people who are unable to allow people inside, because I know that every relationship I've ever had in my life, anything that was real and true and meaningful, was with people that I allowed to see me for who I am. And the good side, the bad side, everybody has a good side, a bad side, right? And to love me, take me or leave me, essentially, right? You can take me or leave me. And so that is what I have done. I am not, and no one's one-dimensional, right? No one is a one-dimensional human being. So everybody has a negative side and a good side. But that's what makes life so interesting. You can't expect everything to always be fucking roses and everything. And you want people to be there for you when things aren't. And the only way they can be is if you allow them inside you when you're on your good days or bad days. So anyway, I just wanted to say that. I don't know what to say about it. I just wanted to say that. But if you want to call in, the number is 323-843-6160. Going to take a quick break. Come back and talk some more about this and some other topics as well. Be right back.
Oh, wow. all the things that you did.
Okay, so that was Yellow by Coldplay, one of my favorite, all-time favorite songs. I love that song. That song reportedly is about a dog he had, I think a yellow lab or whatever. So anyway, thanks. Thanks, Prankville. Thank you. I don't call you Todd because I know that's not your real name, by the way. But anyway, what's the Sorcerer and the White Snake, David? What's that? I don't know what that is. Anyway, so what was I going to say? Oh, so there have been all of these horrible, on a different topic, horrible gay bashings in New York City lately. There have been 5 in the past month, okay? 5. And some had 2 men. I think they all had 2 men, like 2 men involved. So it's like 10 people or whatever. Later, Prankville. So anyway, Jet Li movie? Okay, cool. Anyway, so there's these horrible beatings in there and on there. And so it's like fucking amazing to me because New York City is supposed to be the bastion of acceptance and the bastion of diversity, right? And it's always been a place where you can walk down the street with holding your guy's hand for most parts of the city anyway. And, you know, I've been to New York many times. I love New York City. And I would totally live there if I could afford it. I can't afford to live there the way I live here in Texas anyway. I mean, if I moved from here in Texas and moved to New York City, I would, in order to just have the same lifestyle, I'd have to have like a $5 million apartment or maybe a $12 million place or something, okay? So, she is, David. I'll tell you about it in a minute. or actually, when the show's over, just go back and listen to the show in the archives. It takes like 30 minutes for it to show up or for you to be able to play it, I think, after so they can process it or whatever. But listen to the first half hour of the show, and I read in there some – you'll see. Just go in there and read it or listen to it later when you get time. Anyway, so back to the topic. So, these beatings and stuff in New York City, and I just think that – you know, I think the reason that there's an escalation or has been an escalation in the number of gay beatings and bashings and stuff in New York City or just throughout the United States is essentially because – of the visibility that we gay people have nowadays or whatever. We have a much higher profile, I mean, than we once did before. So I think that is creating a lot of issues for some bigoted heterosexuals out there. Those who actually really hate gay people because they're the gay themselves in the closet, whatever, or repressed homosexuals, whatever the case may be. Almost always men, but especially ones obviously that beat people up. And so, I think that's the reason. I think because we're getting so much, so many rights now that we didn't once have, and there seem to be far fewer barriers to our obtaining equality that has eluded us for so long as a community. I think that because we're making so many strides now, I think it has become an issue for these people. I think they have just gotten so fucking pissed off, and they just can't stand this. And it's much like the same with people, you know, in Texas, for example. I live in Texas, and Texas is not exactly a bastion of acceptance, obviously. So I live here, and this is where I was born and raised. And so it's very familiar to me. I understand the kind of bigotry that exists here. I understand the kind of good old boy network that still exists here. I understand the mentality even of these idiots that live here. And so I know how to deal with them, and I understand who I'm dealing with. But to be in a city like New York City or San Francisco, places that gay people have been, you know, historically generally safe in, being themselves, and to have these issues recently is just really alarming. And fortunately, most of these guys have been caught, and some of them have been booked and are going to jail or for murder or whatever. But hopefully something will, you know, change and things will happen or whatever to make things better. But I think, honestly, the more rights we get, the further we come along, the more it's going to be shit like that happening. But I've always said, you know, people ask me why I don't move from Texas. Well, as I told you a minute ago, the places I want to live are way too expensive for me to live in and maintain the lifestyle I have here. But the other reason is because, you know, I've always said, you know, I'd rather stay and fight than to flee. So if you have everybody in a place or city, for example, or a state where you're surrounded by bigotry and hatred because you're gay or because you're a different race or because you're different some way or another, and to just leave means you're leaving that place completely at the mercy of these idiots. And so I have chosen to stay and fight, as they say. And I'm here, and it's very difficult. It's a daily battle for me to stay because it really drains you when you live in a place like I live. I mean, Dallas is not nearly as bad as the places in between Dallas and the big cities, obviously. There are places far worse than Dallas, Texas, for a gay person. There's a huge gay community here anyway. So, but the fact is that the backdrop for our rights are governed by judges who decide to judge on morality. For example, there was a judge in McKinney, which is north of Dallas. It's a suburb of Dallas. It's about an hour north of Dallas, almost an hour. Anyway, and it's, you know, McKinney, Texas is a small town or whatever, and it is completely, you know, it's the thing. Okay, God, there's so many things I want to comment on, but let me just say this. So it's a small town, and not tiny, but just like, you know, maybe like 50,000 people, 100,000 people, not really big, you know, whatever, it's a suburb. So anyway, this judge, this lesbian, and her partner of like 15 years or whatever, have two kids from one of the lesbian's previous marriages. And they had this kid, she was married previously, and she got divorced or whatever. Her husband would not leave her alone. He kept stalking her. She had to get a restraining order or whatever. And he was really apparently pissed off that she had left him for a woman, because it, like, you know, it chafed his masculinity or whatever. It pissed him off that way. So because of that, he had his – so during the custody battle for the kids, she got divorced, whatever. I can't remember how exactly it happened. They've been together for a while or whatever. Anyway, it doesn't matter. I can't remember how long she's been with her lesbian lover. Maybe she just met her. I don't remember. But anyway, so they were in a custody battle for the kids. And so – no. Take that back. These kids had been with her for a long time, these years. All of a sudden, he decided he's pissed off and he wanted to get full custody of the kids. Instead of to stick it to her, he told his attorney to tell the judge that she's a lesbian and that it was the wrong kind of environment for her, whatever. So the attorney did this, whatever. And ultimately, the judge ruled on, quote, grounds of morality, end quote, that he was taking the full custody she had away from her and giving them to the father, who didn't have a full-time job, who apparently had a drug problem or something like that, I think, or something like that, and had beat them up or something. I mean, all these horrible things. But because he was heterosexual, he was a better parent than she was. So this is the kind of backdrop you have for justice here in Texas. You have these kind of judges sitting on the benches. Now, they're not all like that, obviously, especially not necessarily in bigger cities always, but there are judges like that, too. This guy's, of course, a Republican and a conservative, and he said – he actually said this literally. He said, "If I could have you killed for being a lesbian, I would. Or if I could have you throw you in the chair or something like that, I would throw you in the chair if I could, because you're a lesbian, because it's so disgusting and wrong." So where you live plays such a huge role in what kind of justice you receive. And so I'm always afraid that I'm going to end up in some kind of situation in Texas and get some asshole judge like that judging me and deciding that I don't deserve to have the same rights everybody else does. So anyway, that's what I want to say about that. I just think it's wrong. And so I think we're going to get more and more people like that judge trying to change things for the worse for people because they simply don't like who they are, which is has nothing to do with the law, just because they don't like people. So whatever. Anyway, so I'm sick of talking now. I'm going to go. I'm done talking for the night. I want to thank those who listened to the show. Thanks those five or six people who were in the chat room earlier. I appreciate it. And everybody else, have a great night. Thanks for listening, David, by the way. Talk to you guys later. Good night.
Hey, it's Bobby Bones. If you're a veteran or if you've got a family member or friend who served, I want to tell you about Safeguard Veterans. Sometimes the hardest part isn't asking for help, it's knowing where to turn. Safeguard Veterans connects veterans, families, and caregivers with local support and resources that understand military life. And when you're talking to people who understand those experiences, finding the right support can feel a whole lot easier. Visit safeguardveterans.net and click on your city. Safeguard Veterans, any door, the right support.